Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cynical Series. And this is the ebook series where we take Reverend Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi's doctoral dissertation and we methodically go through it and squeeze all the juice we can out of it because it's juicy. It's perfect. It's poison. It's approved by the church. It was given high accolades by the Gregorian University, which is authorized by the Holy See. So as we await for the critical edition to be released, again, we're not quite sure when that's going to be, we have this treasure. Father summarized all of Luis's writings into categories after the summarization. he drove us into the volumes to corroborate his thesis, his summary. And then, of course, grounded it then with our Catholic faith, whether it be the patristics, the doctors, the magisterium, the catechism. Somewhere it had to be grounded in our faith, and he successfully defended that. So, again, it's a treasure, and we have this, and it's a great vehicle also to use to sort of mold your cynical around because, again, Father Celso reminds us that we need to have a priest, and we do need to have a priest, and let me just jump back down to that right quickly here. It's basically the late Archbishop Beccheri had asked that all who read these writings be guided by a priest for any theological questions that they may have. So when we have that situation where there's some ambiguity or some confusion, some questions about how to relate something to our Catholic faith, we really need the priest to really solidify that. And we do have that. We have it here with Father Iannuzzi's dissertation. We have it with Father Celso when he joins us, and it's available all week long, and with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. So we really have everything we need, including this thesis. So I'm going to mute Maureen before I get to the prayer here, because I don't want to neglect and forget. So we'll begin with prayer as we always do. Hi, Maureen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more. The spirit of faith, hope, and love. The spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God. The spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility. The spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sorry, I have to call. At least I remembered to mute myself. So again, joy to be here. Grateful to have awakened all of us today, physically. And I know if we've done anything to do with the divine will at all, we have grown spiritually, and that's for sure. And we are truly blessed to be alive at this time. And we have with us this week, back, we have Maureen. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Peter. Hi, everybody. Good to be back.
I just heard everyone give a sigh of relief. She's back. I don't have to hear him read. I'm sure everyone said that. This is really exciting. I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and going into the beginning of the year here, really want to focus on something that, again, sorry it took me so long to, I don't know if I didn't read it at all or if I read it and I don't remember it, but we're using as the crux volume 23, November 27, 1927. And I'll just read a couple of lines here. I'm going to skip around, but our Lord gives us a great hint, a great secret. He divulges what we need to do here. Again, I know he's done it time and time again. So he says here, quote, "My daughter, that which is most necessary in order to obtain a good so great, this gift of the divine will, which is the kingdom of my divine fiat, is to move God to decide to give my divine will reigning in the midst of creatures." Move God. Now, it's not as easy as it sounds. I mean, how do you move God? Well, I guess everything that's contained in the ardent desire. we must have an affection. We must constantly think in this. This must reside in our heart. This must transform us, transmute us in a way that we become someone better than we were before the divine will. To move God, I think, is really open-ended. I think we each have an opportunity to do that in our own little way, depending on our circumstances, our time allotment, our responsibilities, everything. To move God. And the second most important, he says, the other necessary thing is that the creature who seeks it and prays to God to give such a great good must possess within itself the life of the kingdom which she asks for the other creatures, end quote. So as we're asking for this to impetrate all souls, past, present, and future, for us to do that, for that to have any credence, to have any power, we must possess it first. And you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of every time we read the quote from volume 13, December 5th, 1921, where Jesus says, quote, "The work is already done. There's nothing left except to make it known, so that not only you, but also others may take part in these great blessings." So to make it known, and Father Celso astutely reminds us, we need to make it known to ourselves first. Because that's exactly what it says in volume 23. The necessary thing is that the creature who seeks it and prays to God to give such a great good to others and to themselves must possess it and knows the importance of it. But it prays to give a great good, and it must possess what it wishes to give. How incredibly simple yet so complicated. I don't know how else I can explain that, Marina. I'm sort of stumbling over myself. I'm trying to put it. I know what I think. Again, this is like what Father Nuzzi says. The divine will is very difficult to explain in words, but sort of easy to understand once we accept it as we're given this. But the most necessary thing is to move God, to make him, to prove to him, I think, that we really want this gift. And I think that's the ardent desire. And maybe I'll send that diagram out again, that Father Nuzzi extrapolated all the areas where Jesus mentioned about the components of an ardent desire. Because how can we fulfill his request and have an ardent desire? I didn't know what an ardent desire consisted of. What is ardent? I didn't even know the definition of the word. But he actually gives it to us in a myriad of different volumes. And Father Nuzzi plucked them out. He put them down on paper. And we just did this little visio to sort of illustrate what God is looking for. Not what we're looking for. It's all God's work, but we just sort of put it in a bit of an image because I'm an image person. I don't understand words very well. But that's really incredible if we think about it. Move God and to possess his gift. Of course, well, you're moving God to possess it. So it sort of like runs into each other. As we move God, we're possessing it, possess the gift so that we may give it to others. And again, we're not talking about the gift necessarily in its totality. You know, there's a trillion, if not more, levels of being in the divine will. Jesus says, if you're in the state of grace and have an ardent desire, he guarantees that he'll give you the gift of the divine will. That we may be in the extreme entry level, we may be in that foyer, but it doesn't matter. As long as we get in, that's when the work begins. That's when the grace and graces, the mystical gifts become available to us in abundance. So I don't think we have to be too concerned about where we are or how we're progressing. I mean, that comes later. I think we just need to get there and we need to receive it in one form or another. And I think we've all received that sort of mystically, Maureen, if you think about it, because I think I can speak for everyone that's joining us today, that we all believe this gift of living in the divine will to be something extraordinary, something out of the ordinary, something not normal, not given before, something really special. But would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think we have to stay little is important. Right. Did you ever see somebody that you really want to help? You're like, oh, whether it's a little child or an old person or whatever, they need your help. That's how we have to look to Jesus. We need him. If we don't need him, if we're big and all about ourselves, he's not going to help us. But if we get rid of everything that's ours, all our interests, all our desires, our will, we're helpless. He says, oh, let me help you. So I think we have to be little and have peace in everything. I mean, and let Jesus take over. And that's hard. And also, I think it's important to remember, once you realize how great this gift is, you're like, well, I can't do this. This is not, well, I think the problem is you don't realize it's a gift and it just seems too big. So you feel helpless. You can't live this way. And that's right. You can. It's a gift that he's going to do. We have to remember that. It's him doing it, not us. It's a gift. And then you start to understand better. It's like nothing we ever had before. Like we didn't desire redemption. We didn't do anything to deserve it. Same thing here. We didn't do anything to deserve this. Most of us.
No. So. And if we really think about it, I think, you know, for, especially speaking about redemption, prayer, the prayers of the faithful, again, moved God. Somewhere we see it for redemption. And of course now moving God from, our Blessed Mother, nobody moved God more than our Blessed Mother did, but Louisa moved God and sort of spurred God to give her the gift so that she may pass it down to each and every one of us. But I think God really narrows it now to us to move God. It's almost like we have to prove to God that we want this. Now, you mentioned about we need to be little, and that fits perfectly to what God says he wants. He wants his, quote, his paternity back. He wants to be the father again. He wants to be the father where the child asks, Daddy, can I have this? Daddy, can you help me? Daddy, can you be there? We sort of, when Adam sinned, we sort of emancipated ourselves and we got this covered and we go out. Just like a normal nuclear family, if a 16-year-old leaves the house, and you can't stop them because they're emancipated, especially in that particular state, you feel a sadness because you want to be there when they run into those difficult situations. And you know they're going to run into those, especially on their own. So God's doing the same thing here. But again, he can't force himself on us. It's like a biological parent can't do that if they've emancipated themselves. So he wants his paternity back. He doesn't want much from us. He wants to love us the way he designed us to be loved. And we just don't want it.
I was thinking the other day, Peter, how before Jesus came to redeem us, how Our Lady prayed. She didn't know she was going to be the mother of God, but she prayed and prayed for the Messiah. Yeah. And I remember reading somewhere, it might have been in the poem of the Man God, I don't know, but how he came early because of her prayers. And he came out of the tomb early because of her prayers. And I feel like hopefully, maybe the divine will, because I feel like we're Our Lady's people. And a lot of people that come into the divine will, our Blessed Mother led them there. So I feel like we represent her in a way. So we keep praying that it comes. It might come a little quicker. History will repeat itself.
No, absolutely. And, and he gives us, I had this long conversation with Father Nuzzi. He gave the Blessed Mother, she knew everything, but she didn't know everything at once. He gave her the knowledge when it was necessary. When she needed it. And again, I think that's something we've discussed too. Grace anticipates the soul. Jesus explains that to us. I think it's going to be somewhere in our writings today, if we ever get to it, right? Grace anticipates the soul. So if we know that God's grace is going to be there before we need it, then we shouldn't be apprehensive about anything when it comes to doing something good or doing something for God or for each other. Because again, when we help each other, we're helping God. But it's incredible. Absolutely incredible. And again, we're going to try today and every day during this program and outside of programs to move God and to absorb this gift as much as we can so that we can move God to give it to others. And that's all we're doing. Again, it's just giving our fiat, really. Just perfect example, Our Lady, when she said fiat, God did all the work. But he needed that fiat. He needed to know it was okay. Again, he's not going to force himself. A good father. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Maureen, for that. Okay. So the divine will is a cog. We don't have time for this, but it's just moving and God's bringing us back. This is found in volume 16, February 2nd, 1924. He's bringing a small group of souls and he's reconnecting them like Adam was, intimately, more intimately than the saints in the past. And I believe we're one of those. We're part of this small group that's going to be able to reconnect with God in a way that Adam did, relapsarian. And when I say Adam, we mean Eve, of course, as well, and be able to move God again to give it to all the other cogs along with us. We're a cog. Everyone's a cog. And that's what's happening. And again, God has just given us the perfect homework, again, first to move God to decide to give this gift and then to possess it, so that we may have it to give to others. Give to others with our will, with our intention, and God is doing the work. And intention has a whole new meaning has been brought to that. So that's, again, much more articulately than I just said it, volume 16, February 2nd, 1924, if you could. So Maureen, we're back on this 5.3.7.3 in the dissertation. I'm going to move this up a bit here because I can't see. And we're going to stop at footnote number 288. That's where we are. And again, just for those of you who are joining us today for the first time or listening for the first time, Father Iannuzzi, again, as I articulated in the beginning, gives a summary. He summarizes this particular theme here, which is the title which Maureen's going to read, and then again drives us into the volumes, which again also drives us into other components of our faith, again, to prove that this is Catholic, that it's found somewhere, like we discussed. So the summary first, and then we go into the footnotes, and it all, it really does come together. Thanks, Maureen. Let me just get the point out here. I may.
5.3.7.3, the human will's passivity and propensity to continuously cooperate with the divine will and to share in God's immutability. If Maximus maintains that divine love is a full theandric reality in the soul, Louisa relates that in the soul in whom God's own love abides, its human acts are absorbed by the divine will that keep them continuously linked to God's eternal operation and establish in it a theandric reality. In her depictions of Adam's prelapsarian acts in the divine will, Louisa underscores this Maximian reality. Adam's obediential passivity to the divine will allowed God to precede, accompany, and follow all that which he did in Eden. God's operation preceded Adam's acts, while accompanying them by cooperating with them and following them by maintaining from one human action to the next their continuity with his eternal operation. Indeed, the continuous link that Adam established with God's divine will vested his finite acts with the power to impact all creatures concomitantly and to share in God's immutability.
You know, there's so much, Maureen, in that, in just what you read there. I mean, we don't have time to talk about it. But again, there's that where grace anticipates the soul. God's operation preceded Adam's acts, Father reminds us of. This theandric reality, again, talking about the prelapsarian era of Adam on how everything was there for Adam. That connection of the cog was there, this reality, which is still there, just paused, not taken away. I still believe, Maureen, and I'd love to hear your comment on this, that when we're reading the divine will, it's not really the volume of how much we read. I really don't believe that's the most important. I think it's really trying to understand it, even if we don't understand it, to read it slowly, to do a little bit, and to sort of masticate on it, chew on it. And as we're doing that, God's going to unleash the flavors, unleash the mystical gifts so that we're able to understand what we read. And I really believe that those little insights that we get from even those one sentences can move us spiritually as much as if we read a volume. And again, I'm not trying to say don't read the volumes. I'll get emails when Peter said don't read the volumes. No, that's not what I'm saying. If you don't have time to read a volume in a week, if you can read a passage or two, whatever, God knows how much you can read or you can listen to. We can. He knows how much I can do, and I usually don't do as much as I can do. I'll be honest with everyone. But that's what God wants us to do, to use as much time as we can to grow as deep as we can. Because again, every time we do, we're giving that, we're showing him, we're displaying our desire so that he may give us what is commensurate, which he says he's going to give once he sees that we really want this gift.
Yeah, I think that if you read it like a regular book, I know I can't read it like a regular book, you're going to miss things. So we read it in the morning, really slowly. And because this is heavenly things. We're used to whizzing through books written by men. And this is written by God. So if you read it like you read a regular book, you're going to miss a lot.
That's right. You know, while you mention that, again, I always wanted to ask you this, but I always keep forgetting. Can you mention to everyone about your gathering? I mean, it's open, right, to anyone that wants to, that's available to
well,
join?
What we do is Father Celso said, go in your room, shut the door and read the volumes. So what we do is we start at 6 o'clock in the morning because a lot of us want to go to Mass. And so we know that if we say we're going to read the volumes during the day, we won't. So we try to give God the first hour and a half of the day.
That's great.
So we read from 6 to 7:30 and we read slow. And then at 7:30, our families are getting up. We have to go to, you know, some people have to work. Some people have to go to Mass. But if we don't do those readings, like we've been doing it since COVID started. And it's really great. It's really great. We have people from like maybe 5 or 6 different states that I've never even met before. But we read 5 days a week. And we just, and you know, you read slow. You're just getting out of bed. You have your coffee there and you just, it's really nice. It's a great way to start the day. So we're going on the volume. I think we're on the third time around, but it's 5 days a week and it's an hour and a half a day, but it goes fast and the house is quiet and dark. So no one's up yet. So it's really a perfect time, but I know, and we all know we're grandmoms or we have to work or we have to babysit, that if we wait, we won't do it.
That's right. Now, Maureen, if someone wants to join you, how can they go about doing that?
Well, you can just email me and I'll send you a link. And, you know, I tell people, you don't have to come every day.
Right.
You can come whenever you want. You can listen in the car. You can listen when you walk, you know, if you're, whatever you're doing at that time, you can come, mute yourself and just listen. That's the great thing, because you get to hear the words and they become more familiar to you. Like the first time I read the volumes, words didn't make sense to me. And the second time I began to understand, you know, so we just figure we're going to do this for the rest of our lives. Just keep reading and reading and reading.
Now, is it audio only or is it video also?
Well, it's just audio. I mean, we don't even show our faces. Well,
so if you just get out of bed having a bad hair day, it doesn't matter. Okay, good.
You go in your pajamas, you have curlers in your hair.
That's great.
So now, what we've never even seen each other's faces. We have some ladies from Florida, Missouri, New York.
That's wonderful.
Tennessee. Yeah. So they'll just.
Maureen, can you give out your email address?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
Sure. It's M. Lomady, my name. M. Lomady, Lomady, @AOL.com. And then just send your email and I'll send you an invite. It's Jitsi, it's not Zoom. So just tune in, mute yourself, cross out your video. We won't see you, we won't hear you, and you can just listen. And then if you want to read, you can read. It's very easy.
That's great. And usually with you is your dad, Deacon John Thompson, correct?
Deacon John's there, and he'll give a little. Okay. Sometimes not with every uh-huh. reading, but sometimes he'll add a little bit to the reading or talk about something. You know, okay. Or if anybody wants to say anything, but it's mostly just reading the volumes.
Wondering.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. We don't do that often enough. And for those of you who don't know that, you know, Maureen's dad, Deacon John Thompson, through Our Lady, was the person who introduced us to the gift of living the divine will. He mentioned Louise's name, first time he heard it, and the gift of the divine will. It was October 13th, 2014. And I'm eternally grateful to Deacon John because it has changed my life. I've done a 360, and long way to go, but this is everything. And again, at first it does look daunting, but it's not. It really is not. Jesus actually says, not to digress here, but I don't know if I have it in front of me. But do you remember when Jesus says, I had to make this accessible to all? I had to make this easy. He had to make it available to everyone, except if we don't want it. So how do you make it available to everyone? It's got to be something that's not difficult. It's not predicated on education level. I mean, Louise is a perfect example. She had a first grade education. It's not predicated on how much you have, where you live. None of that matters. And of course, none of that matters to God, except that we do the best we can. And we help those with whatever we have in excess. So again, this is beautiful. Maureen, thank you for that. We should have done that a long time ago, but we'll do another reminder.
And sure. Please, anybody's welcome.
That'd be great. Yeah. If I could, I go to bed around 6 a.m. So I don't even know if I could be up. I would love to. But that would be great. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, sure.
Maureen, let me see somebody, some chat. Oh, yeah. Okay, great. So Maureen placed her email address on the chat. So if you'd like to go to the chat function, you can copy and paste that now.
And share it with whoever you want. The more the merrier. I mean.
Yeah, great. Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, so we're going to go now down to footnote 288, which is to share in God's immutability. And let's see where Father, there's so much here that we could do also. And I don't think we have time. I'd like to just tackle this if we may. So 288, you're getting dizzy by now, is here. Let's see what Jesus and our Blessed Mother has to tell us about this.
Volume 28, February 22nd, 1930. One who lives in the divine will remains surrounded by the divine immutability, death of good, sacrifice of life in order to make it rise again. I am always prey to that divine fiat which knows how to conquer sweetly and strongly. With its sweetness, it draws me in an irresistible way. With its strength, it wins me in such a way that it can do with me whatever it wants. O holy will, since you conquer me, O please, let it be so that with your own strength and sweetness, I may win you. And surrendering to my continuous supplications, come to reign upon earth, form your sweet enchantment to the human will, and let everything on earth become divine will.
You know, it struck me that, Maureen, again, as God, as we're trying to move God, as Jesus explained to Louisa, is one of the things that is the most necessary to move God to give us this gift, to give him a reason to give us this gift. We also, in turn, will be moved. And Louisa is explaining here, conquer sweetly and strongly. The divine fiat knows how to do that. Again, the fiat takes a grip on us because this is the life that we were intended to live. This is the prelapsarian heir of Adam is the way God wants us to live and is the way we will live once this gift is returned. Well, it has been returned once it's actually actualized. So that's really important. Now, I also like the fact that it also says that with its sweetness, it draws me in an irresistible way. See, it's hard to explain how we're drawn to this. I mean, how is the magnetic force of this, you know, superficially thinking, how is it stronger than everything else? Well, because God's the power behind all. These are not just words. There's a language of heaven that Jesus explains that's behind this. It's the meaning. It's the modo operandi. It's everything that God wants to do. He's using our vernacular because that's the way he's going to communicate with us to begin with. But then she goes on, oh, please let it be so that with your own strength and sweetness, I may win you and surrendering to my continuous supplication. So again, I think that goes exactly in line with moving God, that I may move you and surrendering to my continuous supplications, my desires, my asking, my requests to come to reign upon earth. So again, another example. And again, we probably wouldn't have seen that or read into that if we didn't have that volume 23 that stated that Jesus telling us the most necessary thing is to move God to decide to give our will. So one thing sort of piggybacks on another. And that's why the truths are so important. And the Father Celso really bangs that home. He says, just keep gaining the knowledge. Because again, it's going to be like dominoes. They're all going to multiply. You know, one little thought is going to multiply into a page of thought. And that page of thought is going to turn into a book of thought. That's just the way God works. And it's nothing that we're doing. He's expanding our capacity. It's nothing that we're done. It's nothing that can be done by us. And Maureen, you made a really great point. I want to reemphasize, you mentioned that we have to always remember this is a gift. This is nothing we've earned. Once the gift is given, that's when the work is available to us. Then it really matters. Because then, again, nothing that we've done allowed us to receive this gift. God gave it to us. It's a gratuitous gift. It's a mystical gift. It's not given equally like baptismal gifts. It's given to whoever God wishes, when he wishes, to whatever extent he wishes. So that's already been given to us on no work of our part. Now, what's most necessary is to move God. Now our work begins. Now we have to show him that desire. And again, if you want to know what he's looking for, he articulates it like I mentioned before, and Father News, he extrapolated it out. It's on the website, queenofthedivinewill.org. It's on the page entitled Divine Will Visual Aids, and it's under the title Ardent Desire. And you'll see exactly what God articulated to Louisa. What is he looking for to form an ardent desire? What consists of an ardent desire? What are the ingredients? He lays it out. And this is really something nice to go back to, not every day, but just once in a while to make sure that we're grasping everything, that we're looking and we're squeezing all the juice out of everything. Because Jesus tells us, no matter where we are in reading and listening, he says, there's much we have not fully masticated. He says, fully masticate first before I can give you more. So if we're looking for more, we need to really chew on what's already been given, swallow just like a child so that he can give us more. And he does every day.
You know, Peter, it also, when you're reading the volumes, you begin to understand the depth of his love that you don't read anywhere else. I mean, how much he loves us. It was only words before, but some of the things he says, you're like, wow, Jesus, you really do love me very, very much. It's deep and it's real. And so you begin to have that ardent desire because you feel his love just by reading the volumes. I mean, some of the things like keep me company and when you're not with me, and you're like, wow, he thinks that about me. You know, so it's just a new dimension totally. And then you want to learn more and you want to please him because you're knowing him. You're beginning to know him and love him like you never did before. So it makes it easier.
Well, we become addicts. He's really trying to make us addicted to his love. I mean, Sister Francesca coined it. She said, maybe it was a year or so ago, she said, basically, this is the divine will is the reciprocal of love. And it really is. God's giving us love on a greater level, the greatest of all levels. And we're now able to take that same level of love and give it back to God on the level of God, due to God, that can only be done in the midst, in the current of the divine will. So, and again, what's he's giving us what he needs to receive from us. So we don't even have to manufacture it. It's like being that five-year-old child who gives a present to his mother or father on Christmas that the mother or father bought for the child to give to the other spouse. So again, five-year-old doesn't work, I don't think, or has the money who can go to the store and buy it, but it's given to the child to give so that all can give. God's doing the same thing here. He's giving us his love so that we have something to give back, because otherwise we have nothing to give back.
And then as we're doing that, we're helping the whole creation love him too.
Absolutely. So think about like that too. Talk about
many dimensions. Yeah.
It's actually unfathomable right now. We cannot even come close to understanding it. But like you said, every little bit we get closer. Now, that gerbil wheel sort of also between knowledge and desire, which again, they fuel each other. If we go to the Baltimore Catechism, that makes sense too. Remember, our purpose was to know God, to love God, and to serve God. Because just like you said, Maureen, the more we know God, the more we're going to love him. And the more we love him, the more we're going to serve him. And by serving him, we want to know him more. And now we know the greatest way to love him and the greatest way to serve him from his words, from God's words, is to fuse our human will with his most holy divine will so that he can give us that same mode of protection that he did to Adam and Eve without chaining them, still giving them free will. Because again, that's a free love. That's an honest love that he gave. And again, they were tricked. Eve was tricked. Adam was tricked. They were weak. And now we've got our Savior. We've got our Savior's mother. We have Louisa. And we have each other as strength so that that will not happen again. God assures us of that. What a great time to be alive, isn't it?
It really is. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks, Maureen. Okay.
All right. So while I was thinking about the divine volition, my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior and making himself seen, told me, "My daughter, if you knew what it means to give oneself, pray to my divine will, the soul remains surrounded by our immutability, and everything becomes immutable for her. Sanctity, light, grace, love. So she no longer feels the variability of the human ways, but the stability of the divine ways. Therefore, one who lives in my divine will can be called heavens, where are fixed and stable at their place of honor with all their stars. And if they revolve, since it is the whole of creation that revolves, they do not change place, nor do they mutate. But the heavens remain always immutable with all the stars. Such is the soul who lives in my divine will. She may go around, do various actions, but since she goes around within the motive power of my divine fiat and in the wholeness of my will, she will always be heavens and immutable in her goods and in the prerogatives with which my supreme will has endowed her."
That's incredible. Again, his paternity, his loving fathership, his protective fathership, encircling us, protecting us, squeezing us so that nothing can harm us. Moving God to give us this gift. Now, he mentions about the immutability, and that's something that's, again, mentioned often. Do you have something from another part of the dissertation, Maureen, that I have down here? I'd like to continue maybe on that thread just quickly with this. It helps give a little bit more flavor to it.
4.1.24, the grace of impassibility, immutability, and inseparability. To Louisa, Jesus reveals that a sure sign of the soul's possession of the gift of living in the divine will is God's having bequeathed to it the grace of impassibility, immutability, and inseparability. These prerogatives render the soul's possession of the divine will unwavering. What God is by nature, the soul becomes by grace. This state of inseparability that the soul experiences in the divine will is a union that God sustains with his uncreated power. This state does not confirm in grace the soul's free will, as it confirms in grace the saints in heaven. Rather, this state confers to the pilgrim soul the seal of the supreme Holy Trinity and a seal of sure predestination that renders its divine acts in God's will, which remains sealed within its will and sealed and adorned with divine will acts inseparable from the Trinity.
And again, that was Father Annuzzi's explanation, his summary on the grace of impassibility, immutability, and inseparability. And somewhere else also we read, Maureen, I think it articulated the fact that Jesus articulated that one of the surest signs to know that we're journeying in the divine world, we're living in the divine world, again, not in its totality, in whatever level we are, is not to be moved and distracted and disorientated by what's going on around us, you know, to be able to stay steadfast, to be able to be immutable, to be poised and to remain that way. That way we're able to respond, I think, to any events that make their way into our lives. So again, God's permissible will is a mystery. And many times, if not all, everything that comes as an obstacle is something to be overcome and something to gain and increase our virtues. Again, without those opportunities, we wouldn't have the experience or the opportunity to exercise our virtues and to grow them and to reveal them to God that we have been working on. So again, it's all here and it's all so beautiful. And so again, that's something I'm far from. I still react. And again, when we react, it's not good. We need to learn to respond. And through the grace of God, we will be given that grace if we want it and if we work at it. Again, the work, like we said, is now that we've been given opportunity, access to this gift. Getting the access, it was nothing we had done. But now that we've been given it, now it's everything we've done. We have to move God to give us the grace and graces so that we may possess this gift. And like Maureen had mentioned, be able to move God to effectuate and give it to all souls, past, present, and future, to be that cog that is able to fuel other cogs, not by our strength and power, but by the power of the Almighty. It's just, and He's using us nobodies. He's using us nobodies in this massive spiritual cog that God has worked here. It's just, it really is incredible. So that, again, I think that just adds a little flavor. Do you want to say something more about that?
I was going to say, I just read one of the notes I wrote that, well, let me preface it by saying, I think, you know, Christians now, particularly Catholic Christians, are going to be persecuted. We already are being persecuted, but it might get worse. And how we have to always respond in love. That's our weapon. And I remember thinking to myself, gosh, I hope I can do that. I hope I can respond in love, you know, because you have trouble just with easy things within your family and things like that. How are we going to respond in love to people that don't love us and that hate us and they hate our faith? And how are we going to do that? And I just read a note from the Divine Will. It said, we may hesitate before we judge and love more freely. So I said, wow. That's what we're going to need to do. And that's what the divine will brings. You don't judge as quickly and you love more freely because that's what that's God.
So right.
It's really going to help us.
And remembering what God, again, God Himself said, forgive them for they don't know what they do to those who are crucifying Him. So again, Our Lady of Fatima said, there's going to come a time when there's going to be a diabolical disorientation. We're living it. Good will be bad, bad will be good. And more importantly, she said, even good people will do bad things thinking they're doing good.
Yeah.
And that's really, so we forgive them that they're not enlightened. I mean, we forgive them that that they don't share the type of love that we want to share. Again, we're really, really fortunate. And we need to, I think realizing we're fortunate, I think that helps to keep us humbled. Because we didn't deserve what we were given at any point, now or in the future, but we've been given it. And now we have a job to do. And God's going to give us the grace and graces necessary to do that job. If we decide to do it, or if we don't want to do it, He says, I'll accept that also. So again, when much is given, much more is expected. And I think that's exactly where we are. It's go ahead, Maureen.
I'm just saying, yeah. I think Jesus is saying to us, watch what I do. Copy me, you know?
Yeah,
okay, Lord, with your will, I can do anything.
That's right. Oh my goodness, this is so great. You know, I don't want to rush through this. So Maureen, maybe we'll stop at that juncture now. It's about 15 before the hour. Because I don't want to neglect. I hope I have it here. I don't know if I did. Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, we've got a busy weekend. Tomorrow, Saturday, Father B. Thomas Celso, excuse me, BDV, will be giving his monthly Day of Recollection. And that'll be tomorrow between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Actually, it begins at 8 a.m. with a live Eucharistic Adoration, courtesy of EWTN, and then Rosary and the Divine Will. That begins at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. And Father's first talk begins at 9. Father gives a series of five talks, five 45-minute talks. And at the conclusion of each talk, we go back to Poland for adoration for 15 minutes. We take a break for lunch in the midday. And that's really always great. The material has been emailed out in advance. So anyone who wants to print it out and make their notes, which I think is a great idea to do, I'll email it out again this evening, the material that will be used for that day. So again, and if you can't make it, pray that I press the right buttons and everything will be recorded. You can watch it at your leisure. But that's tomorrow live between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. Then on Sunday, we have with us Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters, which is always a treat as we journey the divine will. And that's from 2 to 3:30 Eastern Time. That's on Sunday. And again, also, we want to mention this. I'm going to be sending this out as well. Let me just switch gears here a bit. And this was just sent to me by Claire, if I can find it. Okay, do you see this? This is the newspaper from the Diocese of Knoxville, Tennessee, where the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will, Mother Gabriel, and the sisters will be moving to, expanding to.
And thank you, God. They're coming here.
Isn't this great?
And we need them.
They're coming to a town called Marysville. You can't make this stuff. So again, there's an article here. I won't read it now, but I'll make sure that I send this out to everyone. It talks about Louisa in here. It talks about the divine will. So again, the Diocese of Knoxville, thanks be to God to that bishop and his foresight in seeing what is available. So Mother will be, in essence, and the sisters in our backyard. Now, they're still going to be maintaining the facilities in Italy, only because the Archbishop wants them to, because they're helping with the Adoration Chapel and the second facility in San Marino. And they're also going to cultivate European vocations there to make it easier as opposed to coming here to the States. So we're going to be doing, I know, once again, we're going to be doing a fundraiser for Mother and the sisters. And that'll probably be happening in the next week or so, that we can help with the moving expenses. Now, again, the property that they were given it. It was donated. It's 100 acres. The ground has been broken. The foundations have been poured. The cement that's already been done for two facilities, one for the mother and the sisters, and one for Father Elijah and the priests. So there are two facilities going up on this 100 acres, but they're going to be raising some money to help build the facility, to move everything over there, and just to get everything up and running. But they feel, they think, they pray that everything will be up and running, at least to get them housed there by June or July of this year.
Jeez, thank you.
I don't know how that's going to happen, but with God, everything happens fast. So I just wanted to let everyone know about that. Again, pray for this this entire move, that it goes smoothly. The vocations are really growing. Also, there's, I think, three or four more new sisters that are discerning there. There are two that are close to committing themselves. So, again, as other orders have not seen any rise in their numbers, Mother Gabriel has been like a magnet to. And again, I have to believe also a lot of Mother Angelica has rubbed off on Mother Gabriel Marie. Remember, mm-hmm. Mother Gabriel Marie was the right hand. Well, she was the secretary to Mother Angelica. Remember, the secretary is not something frivolous. Luisa is called the secretary of the divine will, to house all this information. So she was with Mother Angelica almost at every moment, 33 or 35 years. So so she learned a lot, and she was next in line to replace Mother, but the divine will took precedent over even aspirations of being the head of EWTN, so to speak. The divine will is more important. So I think she taught us a great example there of humility, of forthrightness, and really when God moves us, we'll know we're moved, and he'll make our decision making, I think, very easy. Once we become addicted to him, right, nurse? Addiction is a hard thing to fight.
Yeah, that's right.
In a good sense and in a bad sense.
Yes.
With that being said, I want to close, if I may, Maureen, again, from volume 23, November 27, 1927. And this is our blessed Lord speaking. Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My daughter, that which is most necessary in order to obtain a good so great, which is the kingdom of my divine fiat, is to move God to decide to give my divine will reigning in the midst of creatures. When God moves and decides, he overcomes and conquers everything, even evils themselves. The other necessary thing is that the creature who seeks it and prays God to give such a great good must possess within herself the life of the kingdom which she asks for the other creatures. End quote. It's all here if we ask for it. With a contrite heart, in the state of grace, ardent desire, upright intention, and ask. As he says, the second most important is to ask for this gift. He really makes it available to everyone in every place at every time. We're so blessed. Thanks be to God for everything. Thank you, Maureen. And see everyone, God willing, next week. See you this weekend. Father Celso tomorrow, Mother Gabriel, and the sisters on Sunday. Make every day a divine will day. Okay. Love everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, Maureen.
Bye-bye.